Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question, something you'd like to pose on today's broadcast, why, we encourage you to call right now. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is open, and it's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, there's a lot of restlessness out there in the world, and I think all of us have experienced restlessness in our own lives at some point or another. And the wonderful good news of the gospel is a promise of rest, an offer of rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls." Well, that's an invitation we're all interested in because we want to find rest for these wayward souls of ours. We want to find rest for that restlessness that is inside of us. But that rest is found in the new covenant. That's the place of rest. We're not going to find it under the old covenant. We're not going to find it through trying to live up to rules and regulations. We're only going to find it through faith in Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews talks about that. We've discussed this time and time again on the broadcast, but it's such an important topic. I can't tell you the number of people who are struggling with restlessness.
Yeah.
They just can't find and get settled on any one thing. They're successful. They may have all the money they could ever need or ever want, but there's still something wrong underneath, and they can't solve it. They can't calm it down. They can't bring it to that point where they experience rest. Well, here's what the writer of Hebrews says. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So there's this place of rest that God has for us, and it's available. But it's not available through good works. It's not available through religious traditions or any of those sort of things. It's only available through faith. We only enter this rest through belief in Jesus Christ. Now, the Israelites of old, when they wandered in the desert, they did so because of their unbelief, their disobedience to the Lord. The Lord had already prepared a land flowing with milk and honey. All they had to do was enter. And it was an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. It took them 40 years. And the first generation of men that came out of Egypt died in the desert. They did not enter into God's rest. And the reason they did not enter into that promised land is because although they heard the message, they did not combine that message with faith.
Right.
So they sent spies into the land. They came back with a report. So there was a majority report and there was a minority report. The majority report was, no, we shouldn't go in because there's giants in the land. And if we go in, we're going into our death.
Yeah.
This is sure death for us. The minority report offered by Joshua and Caleb simply said, hey, it's exactly how God said it would be. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And man, there's grapes. Oh my gosh, they're huge. And
they're mealing themselves.
Let's go in. And only Joshua and Caleb went in out of that generation. Why? Because they were the only ones that believed God based on what he had said. Well, our place of rest is Jesus Christ himself. That's why he invited us to him, to come unto him. And when we come unto him, we find rest for our souls. How do we find rest? Because in him is forgiveness of sins, in him is righteousness, in him is everything that puts us right with God, that gives us that connection to him that we so deeply desire. So if you're looking for rest for your soul right now, I encourage you to take a look at Jesus and to come unto him. Because when you come unto him, when you believe in him, when you receive him, rest for your soul is the reward, is the promise, and it's available to you. So do everything that you can to enter in to God's rest. This is such an important topic, isn't it, Richard? It's not.
Yeah.
It's just not theological. There's a real practical implication to it all for us, for our souls.
Yeah, there is. The issue that I faced, because I was raised as a Sabbath keeper, my issue was always theological. Well, the Bible says, and therefore we shall do this. And then I watched us make a mockery of it. You know, we didn't keep the Sabbath. Nobody has ever kept the Sabbath.
Yes.
Can you control your own thoughts for a whole 24 hours? Of course you can't. And so there was no rest. And we said we were resting, but you know, why did we sit around all day going, you know, if it wasn't Sabbath, I'd tell you. But that was a joke. And I know there were people who kept it and today still keep it in the way they think best, but they just make it a religious theological issue instead of looking at Jesus, who said, like you just reported, come to me. If you want rest, come to me. And then the writer of Hebrews, we have to learn how to rest from our labors, specifically our labors for salvation, just like Jesus rested from his. Well, how did Jesus rest from his? Well, first he died, and then he spent 3 days in the grave. He was, quote, resting in order to give us rest. And as soon as he came out of that grave and we accepted him and we get the Holy Spirit, our souls need to be and should be at complete rest, absolute assurance that in Christ everything is accomplished, everything that's important to me is accomplished. That's a practical way to live, because when my soul is at rest, then whatever's going on outside of me, I can say, well, that's interesting, but this may apply, this doesn't, but regardless, my soul is at rest, as opposed to saying, well, I'm not sure, yeah. I'm not sure, and then you're constantly fighting and fighting and fighting and wonder why you're tired all the time.
Right. So God rested on the seventh day after creation. We were created on the sixth day, so our first state of
yes.
relationship with God was from a place of rest.
Yeah.
Everything was to flow from that.
Yes.
Well, a couple of chapters later, sin enters the picture, and sin disturbs that rest. And from that point forward, humanity was in a state of restlessness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in this new covenant that rest is restored to us. Why? Because the very thing that disturbed it to begin with, sin, is now out of the picture. Sin has been taken away once and for all. There's no punishment for us. Why? Because the punishment went upon Jesus. And when we believe that, when we fully believe that Jesus has taken away our sins, that Jesus has given us forgiveness, that Jesus has declared us righteous, that's when our souls can be at rest
yes.
in Christ.
And notice that this has nothing to do necessarily with lack of activity. Some of the people I know who are the most at rest seem to be the busiest, but they're not busy. They're just at rest.
Right.
And this is their life. This is the thing that God is doing through them. Don't confuse the behavior with the reality of what's going on in your soul.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and the voices that you're hearing are Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us, and want to keep it in front of you, friends, that we have a $25,000 matching gift offer waiting to be fulfilled with your prayers and your donations. When it's filled, your gifts will have turned $25,000 into $50,000, and that, of course, will help Basic Gospel continue to expand the reach with this message of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. So please help fill up that excellent matching gift with your donation today. It will be doubled. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Now, Bob, you and I were talking before the broadcast about the importance of seeing this message go forward, and we have opportunities in front of us.
We have all kinds of opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, radio stations are calling us, program directors, yeah. station owners are calling us. They're saying, hey, we like your program. We think it's necessary for our audience.
Yeah.
We want our audience to participate in this ministry because they need to hear the simple, basic gospel message. I mean, the world is desperate for this. And if this ministry has blessed your heart, if you've come to grips with who you are in Christ, the forgiveness that you have in Christ, the righteousness, this new identity, this new relationship, this union that you have with God, but the fact that Christ is alive living in you, man, let's step up to the plate together and let's deliver this message to as many people as we possibly can. I mean, if we want to do something to make a difference in the world, delivering the good news is the best option. There's all kinds of options out there, but the thing that's gonna really speak to people's hearts and deliver them from those spiritual needs and problems that they have, only the gospel can do that. And once the gospel takes a hold of somebody's life, it starts to bubble up and affect every single other area in their lives.
It'll revolutionize your life.
That's right. From relationships to how you handle money to your purpose. I mean, everything about you is going to be shaped by this gospel message. So help us deliver this message to as many people as possible. It's the best investment that you will ever make, investing in the power of the gospel to transform lives.
And as we said, the only thing between us and moving forward is the finances to do so. So as Bob said, and as I've said last week, we have opportunities in front of us. We hope you'll help us take advantage of it. 844-322-2742, or you can donate online at basicgospel.net. Now, that same number is open right now. If you have a question and can't seem to find the answer on your own, or if there's something that is kind of bugging you and you'd like to talk about it, well, give us a call right now. Again, 844-322-2742. We had a call over the weekend from a listener who wanted some clarification on something that he had heard on the broadcast last week. Let's listen right now.
Hi, just heard listen to a person calling in about that his friend committed suicide, and you gave an answer to him, and it seemed to me like you were saying that it's okay to commit suicide for a believer. That's what it sounded to me like. Maybe I didn't understand your explanation on it. But, if you could just clarify that for me, that would be appreciated.
You know, I was listening. Bye. I was listening also. I didn't hear that at all.
No, not at all. Well, I think it's, you know, safe to say sin is never okay.
No.
And suicide is sin, sin of the most selfish nature, of the most selfish kind. So, no, suicide is not okay. It's adultery is not okay. Lying is not okay. Sin is not okay. Why? Because it has grave consequences, and suicide for sure has the ultimate consequence as far as your physical death. But as far as sin is concerned, what has God done with that? And that's what we need to ask as well. So many folks think that suicide is the unpardonable sin, that if you commit suicide, then your eternal salvation is just gone. You'll never have a chance to repent of that. You'll never have a chance to ask God to forgive that. You'll never have a chance to receive anything that God may have for you. Why? Because you're dead. Well, that's not the case. The only unpardonable sin is the rejection of Jesus Christ. So if you reject the offer of life that's been given to you, then you're just going to remain spiritually dead, and that's going to be your eternal state. Now, if you're a believer, if a believer commits suicide, that they do so as a believer in Christ, which means they have already crossed over from death to life spiritually, and at that moment of last breath, they will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Why is that the case? Well, because the blood of Jesus has taken away every sin, including the sin of suicide. So is suicide okay? Absolutely not. Is there a suicide epidemic in this world today? Yes, there is. As a matter of fact, suicide in teens have increased over 70%, and that number continues to grow. And why is that? Well, studies have shown that it's because there's a lack of connection, a lack of religious connection, that teenagers don't have purpose in life. And so they're giving up quickly and doing that selfish act, that sinful selfish act called suicide. And it's leaving our culture scratching its head saying, what can we do to prevent it?
Yeah.
So, no, suicide is not okay. I think it's the most selfish act a person could ever do. But it's not the unpardonable sin.
Yeah.
And that was the point that we were trying to make, that it is not the unpardonable sin. That doesn't take away the horrific nature of that act, and we need to recognize it. When the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 about sin becoming utterly sinful, mm-hmm. I think we need to see it for what it really is, and suicide is one of the most selfish acts there is, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrible. So, no, it's not okay,
yeah.
But it's not the unpardonable sin.
Right. Thanks for clarifying that, Bob. And, friends, if you have something, if you have a question about something you've heard on the broadcast, I hope that you'll do exactly as this listener did and call and let us address that situation. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. We have open lines right now. Again, 844-322-2742. This question from another Bob, and he says, I've asked others recently, but I would like your take on this. Jesus gave us the new covenant, and I am a full grace believer. With that said, why is there such a huge difference in the tone of the letters of some books of the Old Testament? It seems to me that Peter and James could have used a good old-fashioned Bible study on grace and the new covenant in Romans. What am I missing here? Again, that's from Bob, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, we appreciate that, Bob, and that is a really good question. As far as the tone of, say, like 1 Peter and 2 Peter, Peter certainly is giving some warnings, but he is addressing a specific situation. He is addressing people that have scattered all across these different provinces who are experiencing great amounts of suffering. And so he is trying to make a case for how to endure through those times of suffering. And you know how he makes the case. He frames it in light of the gospel message. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the fact that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have been ransomed, we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, blood that is more precious than gold. He talks about in chapter 3 that Christ died, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And then at the end, in chapter 5, he said, I'm writing to you to say that this is the true grace of God. Therefore, stand firm in it. And then he continues that theme in 2 Peter as he talks about this great salvation that we have. He talks about it not being a made-up story, but it's something that has come from the very mind of God as he has moved the men of God to write it down. And at the end of it, he said, grow in the grace of God and your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he builds a framework on dealing with a specific situation with the grace of God, mm-hmm. from start to finish. So it's more practical in application than what some of the great theological writings of Paul are all about. Here's the systematic theology, and he gets to the practical implications much later in his writings. For example, in Romans, you don't really see practical stuff until chapter 12. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there's some things sprinkled in, but you know, the real practical application, the therefore, comes at Romans 12:1. So it may sound like there's a little different flavor in Peter and James's writings, but really it's just making a case for the grace of God in specific application. The book of James, I think James is asking, you say you believe it, but let me ask you, do you really believe it? Do you really believe this gospel message? Because what you say and what you do don't match. So I think he's making a case, encouraging our words and our deeds to be motivated by the same gospel message.
Yeah.
So even though it may seem like there's a difference, it's all the grace of God being delivered to us through these writings.
Bob, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. I had another question, a really, really good question from Corey. He says, as a learning pastor, I want to know the best way to explain the passages in Acts concerning the believers receiving the Holy Spirit after they believed. I know that their verbiage isn't like ours today and know that receiving the Holy Spirit means that they got saved. I know of at least three similar passages in Acts that speak along these lines. Thanks for teaching a teacher. That's from Corey. You wrote to us through
We appreciate that, Corey, and that's one of my favorite questions to address because I love how this story unfolds. So we go back to Matthew 16, where Jesus asks the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, right. And that information, that knowledge has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. So it wasn't something that Peter intellectually discerned. It was revealed to him by God the Father himself. And he said, upon this confession, I'm going to build my church. And he says to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so the book of Acts is basically Peter taking the keys to the kingdom that Jesus had given him and unlocking that kingdom to the various people groups. So we see it first in Acts chapter 2. The kingdom was unlocked to the Jewish people, the people of Israel that had gathered for that festival of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Then in chapter 8, we see the key being used to unlock the kingdom, the door to the kingdom, to the Samaritans. And then we see it in 10, that door being unlocked to the Gentiles. And so Peter had to witness that.
Yes.
So say in chapter 8, Philip had been there and had talked about the word of God. It wasn't until Peter got there to be able to confirm that they had indeed received it, that the gift of the Holy Spirit was going to be given to the Samaritan people. But once it was witnessed by the one who had the key, then that door was wide open. So now the gospel is wide open. That door is wide open to Jew, to Samaritan, and Gentile, to Jew and Gentile alike. And that is just great news. So that's why we would see in some of those that they believed, and it wasn't until after, when Peter showed up, that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Well, those are excellent answers to these questions, and we appreciate so much, friends, those of you who write to pose your question or your particular topic of interest, and we want to encourage you to continue doing that. We have many ways that you can communicate with us here at Basic Gospel. First and foremost, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. It doesn't matter when you call. We'll be glad to record your question if you don't get in on the live broadcast and address it on a soon coming edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, is available 24 hours a day. Another great way is to drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. A reminder also that the Basic Gospel app, it has just about everything you could possibly want in an app to stay connected with Basic Gospel. You can pose a question, you can make a donation, you can listen to the daily broadcast. So it's another wonderful venue that God has opened up for us, in addition to Facebook and YouTube. We're streaming live video every day of the broadcast, and we hope that you'll come on inside the studio and take a look at what goes on every day with Bob and Richard and me, and I think you'll be blessed by seeing our colorful shirts and that kind of thing. So hope you'll take advantage of that. But we stream live video every day on Facebook and on YouTube. Well, friends, our matching gift offer, we can turn $25,000 as a gift that's awaiting your fulfillment. We can turn that into $50,000 because every dollar that you give toward that will be doubled. This Basic Gospel message needs to reach new areas and new listeners with the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ. Let's work together to make that happen. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone, 844-322-2742. That number is a universal number as far as we're concerned. You can call on it. You can make a donation, 844-322-2742. And when you give this month, we're going to give you a copy of a wonderful resource called our Simply Grace Gift Package to say thanks for your partnership. So again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.